Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for April 19th. We thank you so much for joining us. Right now, there are unfortunately post-mania releases going on. If Sean has any additional context, I'm sure he will pop on to talk about them. But for now, we are just going to roll with our post show. But we always hate days like this for them. Mm-hmm. We never wish anybody out of a job, especially under performative circumstances or just not fitting the roster circumstances rather than behavioral. It's a really, really, really rough. It's a rough business, man. It's a rough business. It's a brutal night for them. It's a terrible night for Sean. It just sucks all around. So we wish them the best, and we hope that they're futures are bright. There are more opportunities than ever, but it is also a very broad scene. So it is tough out there. But you know what? One thing that's awesome, and I was going to bring this up anyway, but it's kind of nice, like looking at where some people that were released were and where they are now.
Yeah.
If you look at what happened with the Maximum Male Models, right? They were given this. They were given slash created success with this like very odd but very fun gimmick. And they never quite clicked in because they were never booked to win anything and never put on a track that made sense. And then they took Maxine away. And then you look at what happened in the past 24 hours with those guys, of them going to Uganda and visiting the Soft Ground Wrestling Association. And I've gotten to talk to Manny and Brennan, Mansoor and Mason, Massey, however you know them, a little bit, just online and through their Twitch streams. And where those guys were under a year ago to what they got to do to yesterday, seeing the absolute authentic joy from both of them in those videos. Like, I was in tears, like, a lot the past 24 hours because it was such a wonderful thing. And I just wanted to call attention to that. And I also wanted to say that their t-shirt is for sale at foryourwear.com, F-O-R-U-R-Wear.com. And all the proceeds from it are going to go right back into the Soft Ground Wrestling Association. And they're also going to do their own Twitch stream on May 6th, the Achieve the Dream Twitch stream. So if you can support with bits or subs or however, please go over there and do so. That'll be on May 6th. I'm sure there'll be more details coming for you. I'm going to talk about it as much as I'm allowed to because I think it absolutely rules. They lease the land that they're wrestling on. Mm-hmm. They did a GoFundMe and a ring is on the way, but they don't have beds, and they're trying to foster a community on rented land all through the love of pro wrestling. So not to diminish the weight or the seriousness of what's going on with these releases, but when you look at where those guys were and you look at how happy they seemed now in Uganda, on an international tour, being booked all the time on the independents, I'm so happy for those dudes and just the absolute joy that they had on their faces and the absolute kindness exchanged is something that I've been thinking about the past 24 to 48 hours and how special it is. So there's a really bright light at the end of the tunnel if you make it that way. So I hope the best. Someone in the chat just said, look at Mustafa. Yeah, that guy is, we reported on Fightful Select, the biggest draw since Cody on the indies. He's working New Japan. He's working all over the place. He's going to be here
locally.
Oh, hell yeah. Go see
like
him.
Like 10 minutes down the road from my house. So might just, you know, give him a text and be like, yo, what's up? I want to hang out. I want to get a burger. Just kidding. I'm not going to do any of that. But I will support him.
Go see him if you can. Go see him.
I did see
him.
When I saw his name on the card, I was like, hello. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, guys, we're going to dive into our SmackDown review, but get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. I'm sure Sean will have more context for the releases either on this show or on Fightful Select, likely on the free tier with that kind of stuff, injury news, release news, anything to do with the sex trafficking investigation, things of that nature go on our free tier. We don't feel like you should be charged for that stuff. It's one of my favorite things about working here is the moral compass that guy the moral compass that guides that is something that's very important to me as somebody that works here. So but also on Fightful Select there is all sorts of other stuff like Drew McIntyre contract updates, so much coming up on the possibility of WrestleMania being WrestleMania in May next year. The location of those things, I'm sure with AEW Dynasty on Sunday, there's going to be a whole heck of a lot more on Fightful Select for you. You also get Alex Pulowski, who's doing a Rampage watch-along/SmackDown review right now, so you can go check that out. And you get me and Alex Pulowski doing all sorts of weird shit behind the paywall, like we'll just play video games after our Raw review on Mondays.
Don't even explain it. Just say weird shit. Yeah, just
some weird shit.
When she says we do some weird shit, that's $5 right there instantly. That is
$5 right there behind the paywall.
We all know we spend $5 on worse things. So
it's true.
Give it to a good cause.
It's like half of a Starbucks drink, right? Come on now. So subscribe to Fightful Select if you are able to support us. There is also a Discord that I wanted to put over.
Yes.
I recently joined. I've been in there one day out of the three that I said I was going to be in there because I always forget with Discord. So hop on to Fightful Select and join the Discord as well. That I think is only for the paid tier. But let's dive into SmackDown. We've got a lot to talk about. Man, I feel like I'm kind of buying into this new era thing, Alex. There's a lot of good stuff.
I hear there's logical. A new era.
Yeah, they've definitely made that abundantly clear that there is a new era that we are currently in. But I think they're actually following through with it a little bit, which is really refreshing. We've got a lot more stuff that makes a lot of sense. Our main event was not only a women's championship match, but a babyface-on-babyface feud that makes sense, which is refreshing. Kind of felt like an old era ending, but it was at least well done. Things have stakes, things are moving. So a pretty good SmackDown tonight. Not the greatest one in the whole wide world, but man, everything like makes sense, which is very, very refreshing. What were your thoughts kind of just overall on what we got? Because I'm liking the involvement of the new bloodline. I'm liking the involvement of things mattering in regular matches on the show, Alex.
Yeah, so things have definitely changed. I don't really pay attention to what everyone is saying on the Twitter. Is that what kids are calling it? With the whole like the production stuff. Like, listen, that's just camera movements. All right, people. That's just I'm still concentrating on what's in the ring, my ring time in my matches, which is very, very important to me, and seeing how the stories are pulling off. And they're doing really well with this. Whatever this new era. And let me ask you something, Kate.
Sure.
We spoke about this on Wrestling with Freddie. We normally don't ever talk about an era, right? We don't. What we do is we live in it. And then later on, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe we lived through the Attitude Era. Wasn't that crazy? Or the Ruthless Aggression or the PG era, whatever. It's kind of, I understand why they're doing it because there's a lot of discourse with the negative publicity that's going on right now. But like, man, they're really hammering the new era on us. Am I right or wrong? Is this the first time you ever like really seen something being hammered as a new era? Even when they did the whole authority thing with everyone in the ring, if you remember. This is for you people because you're the WWE universe now and we love you. Even that didn't last long. But this is like really like, this is what we're doing.
I agree with you. It's kind of like the cool guy who tells you they're cool all the time. I've said this multiple times on the show.
Oh my God.
Like, is not cool. James Dean, just in like a leather jacket and a white t-shirt with a cigarette in his mouth, just not even acknowledging you, is cool.
You hit the nail on the head.
It's a little overkill. Now, tonight, I understand that there were new tag belts being presented. So there was a presentation and there was an impetus to be there. But like, it's been a lot of this. I understand it from the perspective of, you're right, normally eras are named and iconized. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Like after you're in it, right? But I think because this one is so much bigger than the wrestling context of what we're doing, and it's genuinely a new era because this is legitimately the first non-Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. era, right? So
yeah.
This is almost the first one that I think kind of deserves it in that way because this is officially the first real Vince-free era in the company's existence. So
yes.
I get it, but man, I am getting very sick of DX.
I am too. They gotta lay it off a little bit, you know. hopefully we just let the wrestlers do their thing, you know. But yeah, I wanted to get your take on that just because you know we're here, it's Friday.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense. And I'm a big show me, don't tell me gal. Like if it's a new era, back it up. So I appreciate that.
I am also a shower. Wait, no, not like.
Hey-o!
Like, no, I mean it's Friday, everyone. I didn't mean it like that. I mean like show me.
I don't even have a Bluetooth read for you tonight. Kate. Damn. But
you threw me under the bus there.
I did. I don't even have the segue for you. But we do start off with AJ. I almost said AJ Lee. AJ Styles versus LA Knight shows you where my heart is. I miss AJ Lee. As our first match of the night. And it was a very good match. Anytime I get an AJ Styles moonsault into that inverted DDT, like that always looks so sick. But we have AJ Styles here winning with the eye poke and the phenomenal forearm. And so we're going to get AJ versus Cody at Backlash. LA Knight got to do his run to the top rope spot superplex thing, which I think is always cool. My only complaint with this, and it's super minor because it's not so much to do with this, is the trajectory of the feud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been kind of interesting, and I'm actually surprised they don't fall into this issue more with Backlash specifically. It started as a blood feud, and now it moved to a stipulation feud, which is a hard transition to make because to me, there's such different forms of storytelling. So you had AJ Styles traveling across the world on like a 21-hour flight just to hit this guy with a steel chair. You had LA Knight invading this man's house. You had the blow off and the blood feud, and now they've reverse engineered it kind of into the stipulation feud to try and get to Cody. And so it just doesn't have the same hit because it was so personal and so visceral up front, and now is like well, now we're going for the title, like you and me a little bit. Like, I feel like because it had so much heat that got blown off at Mania, then we're back here for the stipulation side of it. It was still a really good match, and they did a good job telling the story. I still can't believe that AJ bumps like this at his age in wrestling years. He's like 900 years old. He's in his 40s in real life. So it's unbelievable how well he still moves. But this match was a very good match. It just, would you have the, like, the heat already blown off to then, like, go back to this feels a little bit odd. But no complaints other than that. Really fun in the ring. I like when you have a balance of guy that's the talker, but can work versus guy who's a phenom and can kind of talk. Like, I like that offset. But what did you think of our opening match here?
I thought it was good. You know, someone like AJ Styles, who just, I mean, he embodies professional wrestling. You know, I don't know if you watched him in TNA before and all his earlier life in wrestling, but I haven't. And he was always someone, when he came up at the Rumble, I popped so hard for him, man. I was so happy to see him there. So he's someone who I thoroughly enjoy in the ring. The thing here is that, unfortunately, I am so old and I've been watching wrestling for so long that I am going to have to get really, really into the story, because we just know what the outcome is going to be, unfortunately. So it was a little bit different with Roman Reigns. Every time Roman Reigns defended that belt, it was like every 3 to 4 months. So you had things going on all around him, right? It wasn't like, and his matches were kind of really good. You didn't know if he was going to win or not at times. But with this, it's very soon, right? It's his very, very first defense is very soon. So I wish it was drawn out more. I mean, is that bad that I want a deeper story? Like, I know we just got off an era where this guy was champion for 3.5 decades, but I kind of like that.
I think what you said is why they are doing it kind of this way. Like, gotcha. I think people are so fatigued by having a champion not around. I think that's why you've got Cody showing up on Raw and SmackDown. So I think they are kind of like, let's get to business with this guy. After seeing the promo he gave on Monday, I am very much like, get this guy in a feud right away, because he went out there and very artfully said absolutely nothing at all. He did not say anything of substance whatsoever on Monday, to a tremendous pop and beautifully said, but nothing that had any grip to it. So I'm a big gal of watch, like, talk a bunch of S and then beat each other up about it. Like, that's how I like to watch my wrestling. So artful promos that don't say a ton aren't the most for me in the world, but I am glad to see Cody defending quickly. And the other part of this, though, is just like, legitimately, we've got a pay-per-view pretty soon, right? Like, you got to snap something together. So I think we'll see a longer term feud emerge from this. I do think AJ Styles is a really good starter choice, like a really, really good
100%. Yeah, I thought that was a wise choice to put someone like him, who not only could talk the trash. And I do hope that, you know, from here to Backlash, there isn't any talk about dad. I hope that this is all that's already done. We've been hearing it for months, man, since he joined
literally
WWE.
Literally years now. Yeah.
Yeah, literally years. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
You're right.
Since he joined WWE. And came back. So I hope that this feud brings something out of AJ, kind of like it did with Undertaker when he faced Undertaker.
You know what?
Right? Like, I want to see that AJ come out without talking about dad. Like, I want him just to go at him.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that comp.
Hey, I do this for a living.
Hey!
Hey!
The Line Drive saying, we have the word wrestling on a WWE title prominently. This truly is a new era. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Bad Robot saying, hi, favorite post show. Well, hello, Bad Robot. The new tag titles look so much better than Raw's. I agree with that. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Both are good, but it's like a suit versus mesh half top. You know, we do know very much on the show. Speaking of Pretty Deadly for tag champs, please. Yes, boy. Well, we're going to talk about the tag picture in a little bit, but Bad Robot, I know you kind of had a bummer of a day yesterday, so I hope your Friday and your weekend are better.
Yes.
We love you here. Thank you for always being so supportive.
But I love my robot.
We do. He is not actually bad.
Can we just do the whole show like this?
We could. We do have a lot of people watching. I feel like it would go poorly for us, but
no, this would probably be our most watched show ever now.
You'd be like, what happened to those guys? Line Drive also saying, pour one out for Xia Li and Dragon 2. Yes. Always thought she had all the potential in the world, but didn't get the opportunities. Would love to see her in a Joshi promotion with her style. Xia Li's an odd one, because it felt to me like she came up with so much fanfare. I don't know if you remember, but she had these really slickly produced vignettes.
Oh, yeah.
And she had these lightning fists. And she had, like, these incredible anime-based vignettes that were so cool. And there were weeks spent on them. And they were very avant-garde for what WWE was doing at the time. And then it just never really clicked in for her, unfortunately. But we do have Sean here who thought he had a night off. Poor guy. But
I mean, it's, wait, no, I don't want to get sued.
All things considered, I mean, the reason I have a night off is unfortunate, or don't have a night off, rather, is unfortunate reasons. Bummed out to be covering this situation. But WWE is or has been doing releases. The natural question that people are going to ask is, are there more? I do not have the answer to that. So if you're going to ask that, I do not have the answer to are there more. I mean, I can give you guys a little bit of insight as I talk to WWE talent and stuff like this. Throughout the years that I've covered WWE releases and the like, there have been so many different methods of how they're done. Like at points, there were internal memos sent out to talent that listed everybody. There had been internal memos that were sent out to staff that would list people or people in certain departments that needed to know. There's not a lot of that anymore. They don't announce these anymore. I can't remember the last time they publicly announced a release, and it had gotten to some points where I would find out and they would confirm it and all that stuff. Then at some points they wouldn't even confirm them. Now it appears that we're in a position where it's like, well, we ain't going to tell you, but if you find out the names, we might be able to let you know if they are or aren't. Fightful Select does have free posts on this. So FightfulSelect.com will have that up on the non-paywall section. If we get any supplemental details on how and why, of course, we'll post that as well. But these are releases. And even though Jinder Mahal had posted that he quit, I'm told that was a release. Xia Li wrestled as recently as Monday against Natalya. And I know that within WWE, it was they didn't see her developing what they needed to out of her. Same thing with Zion Quinn, who was involved in the draft pool last year. And then outside of just a squash with Braun Breaker wasn't used. And that's something that I had mentioned on the post Raw show. Xia Li had pretty well been regulated to main event lately. She did her feud with Becky Lynch and Becky Lynch beat her. She had, you know, appearances in the Rumble and the Last Chance qualifier. But after the Becky Lynch feud, they didn't have a lot for her. I think they had her beat Gigi Dolin on main event. I'm the person who watches that show. So I would see those matches on occasion. And it was pretty clear even initially when she got brought up and was almost never used that it was sort of a, well, she's been here so long, we might as well see what's there type of thing. And I felt like that's how it was for Von Wagner up on, like, when he was put in the draft pool too. But they have since used him on NXT a little bit as well. With Zion, there wasn't even like a lot of that. Once he was in that draft pool, he just wasn't wrestling or anything anymore. I think he did the Battle Royal on Raw for the Intercontinental Title contendership, and then he showed up last month and lost to Braun Breaker in a few seconds, and that was a wrap. But these are releases. There are 90-day non-competes attached to them. And I definitely want to send our love to those that unfortunately have lost their job and the like. And another natural thing is what's going to happen to them. It's hard to say. I mean, Zion Quinn is married to Harley Cameron, so his wife is in the business as well. I think he'll get bookings if he wants them. Xia Li will get some bookings if she wants them. I think Jinder Mahal could actually get a good indie run if he so chooses to do that. Like, I could absolutely, with Matt Cardona out, I could see Jinder Mahal popping up in GCW and being that you are not one of us. You're not like a GCW guy type of run. They just did a Punjabi prison match. I mean, I'll use air quotes with that. It was very technically a Punjabi prison, but the Bollywood boys are out there getting bookings. I'm sure they would love to work with him again as well. He's got a lot of friends in the industry. He's well liked, and wouldn't shock me to see him make some TNA appearances and the like. I don't particularly see AEW as a destination for him, as they will try to, I think they're trying to scale back a lot of the undefined talent that they have and really focus on people that they believe can be needle movers in that sense. And I don't know if they see that with Gender. But you know what? Gender could go out there and do something on the indies that makes people go, well, okay.
We okay, are. Then. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. We were talking about how awesome it was that Manny and Mansoor showed up at Soft Ground. And just in general, like, we've seen a lot of post-release rejuvenated careers with GYV.
Lord White invited me. Lord White invited me to Soft Ground Ugandan Wrestling. Insane.
You're going to go there. You're going to get interviews. You're going to leave before the event starts. That is I've got
Lord. Wait, did you say Lord White? Brain,
Cody Rhodes bucket list. And all of a sudden that one's on there.
There you go.
Career. But go. I mean, you mentioned Mason Mansoir doing that. That son of a bitch, Mansoir, told me a month ago, he's like, man, there's only one place I would fly myself to. He's like, and I can't tell you, even though I want to. And that's what it was. That's what it was. And to your point, Kate, look what they've done. They have built so much goodwill since their release, and people look forward to seeing them. It's look at Mustafa Ali selling out every show that he goes to. Look at what Matt Cardona did. You never know. You just never know. Look at what Cody Rhodes did. You are defined by sort of the effort that you make outside of WWE, I believe. And Jinder Mahal, while, you know, some of the people that like him is almost like an ironic thing.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thing that they don't hinder Gender. It's very clear that he is dedicated to looking the part, and there are a whole lot of people. There's a giant piece of the audience that can identify with him. Everybody, almost everybody, can identify with, you know, losing a job, unfortunately. And when you go and you turn that into a massive positive for yourself professionally, I think that resonates with people. People always love somebody who can go out and do that. Fancatch asks if there's any news on Wendy Chu. The last I had heard, she was injured. I think that she would be a great addition to the main roster, honestly, if she was healthy, because I think that gimmick would translate really well. I don't think that the women's division has ever had their Santino Marella, and I say that in a very complimentary way because he was massively over, but I think she's a better worker than Santino Marella as well. So I think that she would fit really, really well there.
Yeah, she has unbelievable range, and we know that because she was in the, what affectionately we call on Tuesday nights, the Dragon Chew Act with a 5,000-year-old dragon lady, and also Sleepy Time Girl, and she's a hell of a worker. So I think there's a ton of potential for there when she's healthy and if and when they decide to use her. Bad Robot, who's not bad at all to us, saying bummed about the releases, but as someone who's not much of an AEW fan, this is why it's great they exist. Other opportunities. Thank you for the love. Hi, Sean, in hopes of making you smile, FTF. Well, It is different now. Like, the AEW roster is very full. They just signed Will Ospreay and Okada and Mercedes and all of these things. But what's incredible is we've seen this trickle-down effect into TNA, into MLW, into New Japan, who's dying for stars over in New Japan. So even though AEW is kind of full up, that doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of opportunities on the independents even. So wishing the best, certainly, to these people who are going to be starting a new chapter of their careers in 90 days from now.
This isn't a super chat, but I want to answer this because it seems like somebody wants this and they're asking someone else a super chat for it. And you know what? I'm going to use it to plug our Fightful Select Q&A show that I do every single week on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business or $54 a year in the business. I do a Q&A both on that, then Grapsity does one every other week. And then I've got a constant Q&A going on the Fightful Discord over on Select. But I did answer this question today, but I'll answer it here as well. Can someone ask him about Vince making a new company? This is because of the report today where Dave Meltzer, I think it was a different report, but there were a lot of people just speculating like, oh, well, maybe Vince will start a new company with the money. Well, I can tell you this. Initially, that company would not have a valuation anywhere near what AEW was valued at or WWE is at this point. So here's what you would need to do. One, you would need to have loyal talent who were out of contract, who would be willing to sign with your company in the midst of this scandal. Well, those are going to be few and far between in general. Then what you got to do is find investors quite likely in this situation. That might not be as hard for Vince McMahon to do, but I'll tell you what would be almost impossible for him to do: to find a cable television partner or a broadcast partner in this landscape with what he is accused of and the stink attached to his name. And then when it inevitably fails, because Vince McMahon is creatively and morally bankrupt, and who's going to be his right-hand man? You going to have Kevin Dunn there? I don't know how many people are going to be necessarily excited to work for a Kevin Dunn, hypothetically speaking, especially considering the fact that we have seen he was also creatively bankrupt. So, like, who are going to be his guys? Who are going to be the loyal people for Vince McMahon when he, you know, hasn't shown a ton of loyalty over the last couple of decades? Like, maybe temporary loyalty, whatever that might be. But, like, there are people saying Fox News, Fox Nation. Fox ain't dealing with a McMahon. No, hell no. Fox was involved in MLW's lawsuit and cost them another $20 million. Like, they ain't doing... Fox ain't going to do business with Vince McMahon again either. So, like, it's not likely at all. And if it did, I sincerely believe it would fail pretty quickly. I don't think that a Vince McMahon-led company would be able to be sustainable these days, nor do I believe it would be successful. I think it would have some initial buzz and some people that would be like, oh my God, what could it possibly be? Well, I'll tell you what it could possibly be. Worse than the worst stuff you just saw on WWE during their worst creative years.
Which was not great.
Because WWE talent can't just be like, oh, well, see you guys. I'm going to go hang out with Vince. Not that they would even want to in general.
Other than even the first time around when Vince was out before he came back and then was out again, all of the reports that you had were that morale was improved when he was gone. Ratings went up when he was gone. Money went up when he was gone. Houses went up when he was gone. Literally every aspect of what you would measure success by went up by his absence. And there wasn't even anybody new and stable fully running with a full creative leash yet because Vince worked his way back in. So I don't disagree with anything that you said at all. Like, I can't imagine him making an effort or a successful one for
I'm sure. Pulling up the free agent list. I'm like, who the hell would be there? Alberto Del Rio. Rick Boogs. Maybe he could try to sign Elias. I don't think Elias would.
I mean, what night would you even broadcast on? That's the other thing. We're just in such a saturated environment at this point.
Oh man. It's rough. slim pickings out there for people that I think that would do business with Vince McMahon.
Well, I don't even
know why you got Rick Boogs and Lacey that. Evans.
Yeah, that's about it.
That is, no disrespect to them, probably not enough star power to get your new promotion off the ground. But Line Drive saying the ironic bit of the women's division not having their Santino Marella is that his daughter very much fits into that role. She has unbelievable comedic instincts and timing in NXT. There are very bright things ahead for her.
She once inquired about possibly doing a Fightful post show.
Oh, really?
In early years, yeah. Yeah, and I had already hired Denise. But yeah, like she, yeah, I think it was, oh, no. So it was, so funny enough, it's when I thought Denise was getting hired by WWE. So it was December 2020.
Okay.
And I was like trying to plan ahead and all that stuff. And when Denise didn't end up going there, we didn't really get to follow up a lot on it, but like she would have been probably one of the picks, but I think she ended up with an okay job. I think
she did. She's doing very, very well.
Yeah, she's NXT. Very good. She's very she's good.
Very, very good. Guys, get in your super
and now
chats.
Santino Marella is going to face Sakuraba at Bloodsport. Incredible.
I'll tell you what, he was on the Jericho Cruise and he was absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. What a fun dude to have on that environment. But get in your super chats and your humper chats if you have any questions. We unfortunately don't have a ton more other than the releases that happened, which sucks. John will update you if he finds out there's anything else or any more names.
Here's one I'll update you guys on. Here's something I'll update you guys on. I did a little thing over on the Fightful Select Discord to play off of our wonderful partners at Bet Online AG. I don't know if you've done that read yet or not, or even if it's on here, but they're getting a free one regardless. So What I try to do, in addition to taking Bet Online's money for this sponsorship, which I greatly appreciate, is also cost them some more money by giving you guys some informed picks. Now, I said the other day I thought that Roderick Strong as an underdog was probably my top underdog pick. Then they changed the lines, and now he's a big favorite. So I also have sort of changed my mind, and I think even though they're not taking action on the Willow-Julia Hart match as of this moment, they changed it off of there. Willow was the underdog. I think she's winning that. I think that she is winning that big time. House of Black, also a slight underdog. I would go with them as well. So if you had to put me on Wednesday, I would have said House of Black, Roderick Strong, Willow as a three underdog parlay.
Look at there you. Okay.
And also Luis Cardozo. Don't make just...
Luis Cardozo? Is that our moderator?
No. Luis Cardozo in our chat. Oh, yeah. Do not go and say reckless speculatory bullshit like that unless it was outright said by somebody on that stream. Don't ever do that in our chat again, period, point blank. You don't get to assume what somebody is saying there.
That'll come back to us eventually because it started in the chat, so you don't want that shit.
Don't do that in general. Never mind here. That's just the worst of the worst, most disgusting behavior. Unless it was said verbatim, please, hey, for the love of God, of all things. That
out of all things going on, Sean, I want to wish you a happy 420 Eve.
Oh, well, thank you.
Don't forget to leave some cookies and milk out for Snoop Dogg tonight.
That's what's up.
I need to do that. I just watched a Snoop Dogg video a little bit ago, actually.
There we go.
For chronic guys, pain support for Kate and Alex here. Donate super chats, humper chats, all that good stuff.
I'm trying to buy a tag team belt. Give me some super chats.
I love those tag team belts.
Me too.
The audible gasp in my, in me as I saw them and I go, oh my God, belts that are not just decent, they rule.
Yeah. They're gorgeous.
They don't look like toys.
Yeah, they are very clearly inspired by the 1990s championships, and oh my God, are they beautiful. Yeah. I just magnificent. magnificent belts.
I love those. They feel like championship belts. They feel like tag wrestling is being taken seriously, which is a very nice thing to have there. Anything else you want to tease for Select this weekend, Sean?
Obviously, we're going to have the SmackDown producers and backstage news from that show. We'll try to find out what we can on the releases and the like, but yeah.
Well, there you go. We'll also have a full slate of regular programming for you. You're going to have your Collision Post show tomorrow with Phil Lindsay and Iridian, and you'll, of course, have your AEW Dynasty Post show on Sunday, so burning oil through the weekend. But thank you, Sean, for coming on here. I know this is like not the most fun part of your jobs. We give our best thoughts and the best, brightest future possible to anybody who was released today. Stay tuned for more on Fightful Select. Anything to do with the releases is on the free tier. But subscribe to us anyway. Head on over. Get over there. Throw your $5 down. Plenty more behind the paywall. Sean, thanks so much for joining.
Enjoy your evening.
Well,
hey, Jinder versus Hook could happen now.
That's right.
I just saw that on the chat.
That's right. It could. It could. I'm not Sean. I always do that with this overlay.
Listen up, Sean. Sean Kate.
Oh, hey, guys. Sean Rosslap. What's up, you guys? There we go. Now I'm me again.
Give us the news.
So let's get back into our episode of SmackDown tonight. We had that wonderful first match, and we had my Steelers pulling up, which made me very, very happy. I am a Steelers gal. I'm not from Pittsburgh, but I am a Steelers. So this is actually how this is kind of a fun story. Okay. Kind of a fun story. I became a Steelers fan because when I was in college, I said, if you teach me about football, I will be a fan of your team. And the only person that offered to do that was my friend Greg, and he was an Eagles fan. And I said, hell no, I'm not that dumb. But he taught me a little bit. And then when I moved to New York City, I had a friend who was from Pittsburgh and a Steelers fan. And she said, I go to the Steelers bar every Sunday. You should join us. It'll be a bunch of fun. You'll learn more just being around it than I could ever teach you. And I did. And it was at the time before we know what happened with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. So you had Bell and Brown and Ben, and it was a good time to be a Steelers fan. But here to share his bad time is Alex Pulaski. Hi, Alex.
Hey, it's pretty good show, honestly.
It was good show.
Isn't it weird that
what's up with that?
That was all it right there. Yeah, the show's over.
Listen, if anybody's like, I know it's a new era, you just can't just call it the new era. So you know how like you have to actually have a name for the era. So I've been workshopping.
Oh, okay. What's the name for the
era? And the one that I've settled on is the doesn't suck out loud era.
Oh, I like that a lot, actually.
It's a work in progress, but we but so far. Also, because I want you guys to get money.
Sure.
Thank you. Instead of puns, I want people to super chat and humper chat. What MFT means, wrong answers only.
Ooh, I like that.
Because my favorite Tongan, my family tree, I don't accept those as being possible because Solo kept saying my MFT, which would mean he's saying my family tree, which is dumb. And yeah. Solo's not dumb.
That's like when people say ATM machine, though.
But those people are also dumb. So,
I'm dumb because I probably do it. Thanks a lot.
Maybe he means my mother effing Tonga. No,
say that. I'm voting for money filled tacos because they are fiscally delicious.
I like that.
So, monkey fart timer. You need somebody next to you to time how long your monkey is farting for. Just give me some good ones in here. You know, that's all I'm saying. Because the chat is amazing. So
please do send us. Look, we got a chat asking, what does MFT mean? Nobody really knows yet.
No,
we're going to come up with some very real possibilities. Yeah. Some very real possibilities.
Every time I wear this shirt, people are very upset with me for liking the Las Vegas Raiders, which I don't. I like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost
Ark. It's very obviously Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones on my shirt. I don't know why you'd be so upset, Josh Mansfield.
Mom's famous Tupperware.
Ooh, I like that too.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But you got to pay us. That's the idea.
Hold on.
You can't just go shouting
I'm
out.
I'm putting it in the chat.
Let's get back to the review part. Alex, do you have anything to be sour about? Or
no, I'm just here to like put. I'm here to pitch my show, which is going to go on in like 8 minutes. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Man.
I gave you guys like an hour head start, and you haven't really reviewed the show yet. So
well, Sean came on to talk about the releases.
It's always Sean's fault.
It is always Sean's fault. I will always blame him at the very least, even if it's not.
Yeah, but it's always his fault.
But it is always his fault. Yeah. We'll continue to blame him.
Okay, good. I like this one. I like this one from the former Prime Minister of the UK, My Fat Tuchus.
Oh.
A little Yiddish from the former Prime Minister of the UK. Thank you for your service. I don't know. I don't know what.
That feels very Linda and Sheila, I gotta say, yeah. But. Tom LaValle with massively famous teammate. That sure. is fair. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if he's massively famous, but I love the guy. My fruity Teletubby, which doesn't really feel like Tom and Tonga all that much, not. But I'll take it.
Yeah.
So not bad. Not bad. We'll keep them rolling.
We'll keep them rolling. Well, I guess my sour fowler is all just the fact that AOP was in this and not Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly even did a friggin' like did a really cool like, hey, here are all the teams in this match. We should be in it. And they had some they had like production. They were somebody like animated a poof of smoke when they go poof.
And it's true.
They're very good. And also they're on SmackDown. AOP isn't. I mean, they were on SmackDown tonight, but they're on the NXT roster. And if there's one thing that needs to happen with the new draft, it's a friggin' brand split.
Clarity.
You are on this show. You were on this show. You were on this show. I'm even going to say during the year, you can switch shows. But once you are on another show, you are on that show until you leave that show for good.
I agree. And the other thing is they're literally fighting for the tag team titles. Like, it's not like they're just on the other show and we're like, hey, there's a competitive opportunity over on that brand. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you have a contendership lined up for the NXT tag title. So being here on the SmackDown one doesn't quite fit. But that's more of like a sour uno.
I know. I couldn't figure out three more other than
you can't force the sour. The sour has to come to you. Like that's not how it works.
The sourness must consume you.
It's true.
The fact that A Clown Down Under are the tag champs. Can that be a thing? I mean, I don't know. It's not really
happened tonight. And also the tag titles are beautiful.
Yeah, the tech titles are beautiful. Like, I can't make that sour. That's sweet. That's sweet as hell.
Super sweet.
Since we're on the subject, we'll talk about the segment later, but Tea Sipper, who in his profile picture is sipping tea, which I adore.
Really? Yeah.
So how y'all feel about the new tag team titles? My only complaint is that it feels like the Raw ones were branded for Raw, and these feel not that. Like, these feel like they could switch between, they feel like world titles of your entire company.
Right.
They're gorgeous. And the Raw ones are like strapped with red. So I was pleasantly surprised that they were not the same thing in blue.
They feel like the only belts that are good. And so they feel out of place because all the other belts are bad. You know?
But
so,
like even its equal counterpart is bad. You know what I mean? That's so weird.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I mean, everybody over on Raw is like, well, no fair. Look at how beautiful. Don't we gotta work? We gotta fight over these pieces of crap.
You got pepperoni titles. Literally pepperoni titles is what they remind me of.
It is. Yeah. These ones are giving IWGP. I loved them.
They look like giant Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
They did. The old ones, or the Monday ones looked. Yeah. They're still better than the nickel ones or whatever.
Yeah. Nickel ones.
Meaty, fluffy Techers. Is like the most beautiful MFT thing in the world. Because it's like everything that you love in the meat matches and everything I love in the tech matches.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I love meat.
Some good ones. Alex, why don't you tell the people what you are going to be doing just minutes?
In like 5 minutes, I'm going to be on 50 Select reviewing SmackDown because there's no Rampage tonight. There is Rampage tomorrow. after Collision the go home for Dynasty. And I don't know. I'll probably review all that stuff tomorrow night. I don't know if Kate's going to swing by. She's welcome to. And then Kate and I are reviewing Dynasty on
Sunday. Yeah.
Yes, we will be doing that on Fightful Select. So head on over to FightfulSelect.com. Subscribe now to get Alex reviewing SmackDown on delay. Maybe I'll hop over there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll hop over after if you're going to play video games.
I will.
Okay, well then I'll stop by.
There you go. Okay.
Cool. I like that. You guys are fun.
We are fun. We're very fun. We are very fun.
We are.
They do weird shit. $5.
$5. We do weird shit behind the paywall. We do. We were also right about Solo Sikoa. So.
We were right about Solo Sikoa for sure.
So there you go. But
all right.
Thanks, they were right about Solo.
Stopping by. Man, you know it's a white hot WWE product when even Alex can't come up with four things to gripe about. My God.
He always does.
We are in a new era. But.
Take a swig of your favorite drink when we say new era.
That is one of the few complaints that I did have. But we do get the announcement that your new women's champion on Raw is going to be crowned in a battle royal. I hate that. That's probably something that Alex would complain about if he had thought about it here. But Chris Pereira is saying, I like the idea of a battle royal to crown a new women's champion, only if they use it to make a brand new champion. So I think what that means is if it's like Becky Lynch, that is not going to be the best. Kind of feels like, I felt like we were obviously lining up for Liv. Battle royal makes me feel like maybe they're going to go with Nia Jax and have Liv chase Nia and win. They could also have Liv pull off the surprise upset, but Liv Morgan is so interesting because she came up second to last in the Battle Royal or in the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row. She was second to last in Elimination Chamber. She has come so close so many times that if she makes it through and is second to last here, she might just go absolutely ballistic because of that. And I think that that's something that could be very fun. I don't love the Battle Royal thing. I wish it was kind of a tournament. What do you think?
My microphone was muted because I was drinking and I didn't want it to make sounds. I don't know how this... I feel, first of all, I feel bad for the way this all happened. Obviously, they're using the...
Yeah.
Getting blasted by a chair as a story. I love wrestling, by the way. To just take anything and turn it into a storyline. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Liv with it. Is that bad?
Yeah.
I really... Damn it.
It's wrestling. It doesn't matter.
I don't want to see her. I'd prefer someone who's a threat that, you know... Someone can chase, like you just said. But is Liv like borderline right now? She's in that super gray zone. I don't know whether she's good, whether she's bad, if she's gonna blast me with a chair.
She might.
I don't know.
I
she
think,
is from the town right next to where my daughters live. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah,
so you know not to mess too much with Liv.
No.
But I will say the history with Rhea is extremely rich. So I think she needs to be holding it when Rhea comes back, whatever that looks like till we get there, because they have the tag team history. They had the Rumble face-off. Rhea put Liv out. Rhea put Raquel out, who was Liv's friend at the time. And then Liv put Rhea out. There is so much juice there that if Liv isn't the one holding it when Rhea comes back, they are blatantly missing a huge opportunity. Whether that means she holds it from this battle royal until then is something yet to be determined, I think. I think her chasing Nia or her chasing Becky, especially with the storyline that we've had of like Becky inserts herself into everything, there's some interesting possibilities out of that for sure. There's some interesting possibilities.
And I'm in the old mentality of you just put some heat behind the title. Right.
Yeah.
Now that it's been vacated, just put a lot of heat behind it. And it's so hot that they're going to boo it like crazy anyway.
Sure.
So, you know, just move it forward that way. And if you happen to have Liv go after it and win, I mean, that'd be a great freaking moment for her again. And then, you know, like you said, the rich history is there.
Agreed.
Look at us agreeing.
I know, I like it.
Just look at us.
Look at that. Look at us. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Well, we have an SUV pulling up here. And let me tell you, there were some vehicular things that happened on this episode. But first, before we get to any of those, an SUV pulling up in the back lot and Solo hopping out of it, suited up. My guy looking good. And Paul Heyman's waiting for him. Heyman says, nice threads. You get Tama Tonga appearing behind Heyman and Sikoa, asking mm-hmm. Heyman if Kevin Owens was there. And Heyman said, Owens was. And Sikoa asked Heyman to take Sikoa to him. Paul Heyman notably being like, he's got to be around here, not fully certain of where he is at that point. So more on that later as we swing into our tag team title segment. Guys, Triple H is here and it's a new era. I don't know if you've heard. We already talked about it again. We already talked about how much of this they're doing, but they have this huge unveiling on Monday. You got to do the same for SmackDown. I get it. But it is ad nauseum. I'm also getting very sick of where the best wrestle on AEW. Show us your taglines. Don't shove them down our throats, please. I'm begging you, wrestling companies. But these belts are beautiful. The segment kind of went with Aldis introducing Triple H. Triple H talking about how wonderful WrestleMania was 2 weeks ago. And talking about bringing a sold-out crowd to Pittsburgh. And then Paul Levesque, Triple H, whichever one he is at that time, asks Nick Aldis to bring out Austin Theory and Grayson Waller after saying that Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis are doing great in their roles. And the tag team champions come out. Triple H goes to kind of congratulate them. But honor is dead to Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and they don't shake his hand. They just walk away. So you have that cooking, and they pretty quickly announced that the tag team match is going to be up next. I love these tag titles. I think they're gorgeous. I'm not sure why Mondays were branded and these ones are so much nicer, but these ones are so much nicer. I absolutely love them. Make me very, very happy to see. It just feels like when you have such a nice belt, it then feels like the wrestling associated with that belt is being taken seriously. We have not seen tags wrestling taken very seriously in a very long time in WWE. And it makes me happy. Now, not blanket, right? Like, we had a tag team main event of WrestleMania last year. That was a huge deal. So we've had foot on the gas, foot off the gas. But I think them being unified titles and in the hands of Judgment Day, who doesn't, it's not in their character's nature to defend them very often, was kind of, I don't want to say detrimental because that's so dramatic, but having split titles I think is going to be a very healthy decision because both tag divisions on both programs are pretty stacked. You got DIY, you got the Creeds, you got Imperium, a whole bunch of people on Raw that can do really great things. Here on SmackDown, we saw it tonight, right? You have the Final Testament, you have the Street Profits who ended up winning, spoiler alert. You have the new Catch Republic. Like, you have all these really great teams here on SmackDown too. So them, both divisions having something to fight for makes me really happy. Love the design of these titles. Segment was fine. Austin Theory is we'll talk about his commentary, but like, he's great in the ring, man. The character stuff just doesn't click, but I think Grayson Waller's picked that up really, really well. So not bad at all. What did you think of just our tag team segment? And then we'll get into the match.
Yeah, they definitely kept it short. They did not go as far as what they did with on Raw.
2 hour show versus a 3 hour, right?
Yeah, 100%. That what you said is all well, right? I love to think that this is where the division's going and where tag team is going. You can put lipstick on a pig. You can put bright lights on anything and make it look beautiful. But when it comes to tag team wrestling in WWE, I'm going to still wait for the show me moment.
Yeah, it's a lot of put up or shut up right
now.
Yeah.
We just got out of a unified.
A lot, right?
Like, yes.
They've been following through, but
yes,
there's a lot of people with tag wrestling specifically that are going to be skeptical until they actually back it up.
And this is because I've been fed tag team wrestling from other companies that feel like tag team wrestling matches, right? And then I now want that for WWE. I want those matches. I want to feel crazy when I watch them. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see. I definitely think that there's going to be a shift, though. These boys are going to lose those titles really quick.
I think they're going to, too. And I think there's a ton of fun to be had on SmackDown. Like, there's pretty deadly. And then you also have, like, the new Catch Republic. Like, what makes me more optimistic than in the past is, one, we're getting longer match times for tag team wrestling. Two, not everybody is just splitting up all the time. Like, every tag team angle was a splitting up angle for so long. Three, there's so much depth in both divisions. And that makes me really happy to hear, because, and see, because it was thin there for a while. Like, it just was, because they were constantly breaking everybody up.
Same thing goes for the women's title. For the women's tag team title. So if they move those titles off of these two ladies and put them on Bianca and Jade, for whatever reason, I don't think it's the right move. We'll see where those go too. But there hasn't been any movement there at all.
Yeah. I'm that needs the women's tag division. Somebody in America needs to have a women's tag division that does good work with consistent booking. Because there's a lot of women's wrestler. Well, like, even TNA, who's incredible with women's wrestling, like, theirs gets lost in the shuffle too. Like, let's get some women's tag wrestling some respect on American television, please. But we do move along to our four-way here with the Street Profits, the New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, Berto and Angel, and AOP going for this. And this is why I'm a little bit more encouraged. We get a 17-minute match here, and this kind of was not your typical WWE tag stuff. It was a little bit more car crashy, which I think in this case was a lot of fun. And I think it was because of the teams that you had in there. You had these huge guys in AOP. You have the Street Profits, who are beyond athletically gifted. I don't even know if there's a word for it, for what Montez Ford can do. Legado and Techers. Like, you have so much diversity in the ring as far as, like, wrestling styles go. And I really, really liked it. And I feel like everybody got a chance to show out. And the Street Profits winning was kind of a nice surprise. Now, my favorite team in all of this is the New Catch Republic. I love technical wrestling. I love Tyler Bate's ability to strong boy people and then also be able to do a standing shooting star press. Like, that's just the most for me stuff. But they just had a shot at Elimination Chamber, and I think they should probably win whenever they get their next shot. And I feel like the Street Profits really, really need something to get them back on a track. They're so good. And they've just been lost in this Bobby Lashley and Final Testament stuff. So I'm excited to see them get the win here. Legado did a good job serving their purpose. We do know that Cruz del Toro had surgery recently too. So just wishing our best to him. A lot of people under surgeries and banged up and releases today. It's a tough one for sure. But AOP looked great in this. Figured because they're doing so much work on NXT, they weren't going to walk away with this. Kind of like the Street Profits going over here. This didn't bother me at all. And I really loved the match. There was a point in it where Pete Dunne was breaking the fingers of, I forget who, but he found the hard cam and it just made me laugh.
Yeah.
So
when
hard.
He was taking the glove off of him. Not Montez.
Dawkins. Geez.
Dawkins. Yes. It was Dawkins. The camera was just, like, directly in front of him.
It was so funny because I was just like, and not only is this man breaking fingers, he's doing it for the camera. Like, God,
yeah, he's really, yeah, he's showing off at that point.
Yeah, it was so good. So I love technical wrestling, joint manipulation, submissions. That's all for me. So I like that everybody got to show out and there were so many different styles of wrestling in this one match. Thought it was a bunch of fun, honestly, and happy for the Street Profits. Was this who you wanted to see getting the W here? And what did you think of the match?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Anytime I see also my Latinos in the ring, they've kind of cooled off my Latin crews a little bit here. They've kind of shifted, which makes me upset. But whatever, I'm not holding the pencil or the booking. But I mean, at least in this sense, we know later on there's a match that something else happens. But yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm ready to see. I mentioned it a couple seconds ago. I'm ready to see the Street Profits get these tag titles again, and off of the Downtown Under, whatever the hell they're calling themselves now, A Clown Down Under
is what they were called tonight, because, by the GM, which was great. Loved that from all.
Because I'll tell you what, Kate, I got a scoop, but I cannot. This is a big one because I know exactly line for line what's about to happen, but I cannot talk about it. I will tell you, Kate, when we close the curtain and disappear off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have a big scoop.
Well, see, that's not great because now you can't tell anybody because it's a creative scoop. So,
but I could tell you.
You tell me, but I'm not paying us. Come on, man. No, just kidding.
I can't tell nobody except Kate. I also signed a contract with Kate when I came on this show to it's tell true. Her everything I know. So
it's true. I was like, you have to tell me everything.
Yeah,
That's what happened there. But some good stuff in the tag division. I'm encouraged by what we're seeing.
Can I throw up a QR code?
No, you may not.
You know how much I hate QR codes.
I know. You hate QR codes like you're an old person who doesn't understand how they work. Like, that's how you hate newspaper, them, even though you do. Why can't it be like the old days when I had my paper menus? That's Alex.
Damn it.
But really good stuff. Encouraging developments. I'm with you on, like, you got to follow through with tag wrestling because we've had so many start and stops. But the possibility of the Creeds working with Chad Gable, like, all of these developments are making me very, very happy. So good stuff there. We get an interview backstage with Miss Bailey, who said she appreciates being a champion, and she's the only women's champion in WWE right now after what happened with Rhea, which I like. And she just kind of says that she's excited to face her friend for the night, which I thought was good stuff. We love that.
Yeah.
Good stuff from Bailey. And we quickly move to Solo Sikoa being backstage with Paul Heyman. Heyman says he can't find Owens, and Sikoa starts to walk away. Heyman said he's not trying to piss off Solo Sikoa, but he's making decisions that aren't really his territory, which I thought was very good storytelling for Paul Heyman, because his loyalty was to Roman for a really long time, and he just doesn't know what to do about this. That these decisions should be made by one man, and Solo cuts him off, and we get Solo Sikoa's music hitting, and he walks out to the ring, which I thought was awesome. Then we move into a battered, beaten, and bloodied Kevin Owens falling out from the back. This was such better wrestling costuming, production, whatever, than we normally get from these segments. There's not a single soul in the world. No, I don't even want to say no offense to Kevin Dunn, because there's some stuff that isn't great about him as a person, so I don't really have a lot of empathy. I don't like anybody leaving their jobs or losing their jobs, but like, nobody misses his production right now in wrestling. Like, not a soul.
I miss,
like,
the jump cuts. I miss the zooms. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what's a punch. Like, I need the action sequence.
I'm not even sick to my stomach watching it. I don't even know what to do. It doesn't feel like
the Blair Witch Project anymore.
Well, we saw it on Raw. That Sami Zayn shot was so incredible, but this was really, really well done.
One shot, Kate?
What was that?
That tracking one shot.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible.
Everyone's a cinematographer on Twitter now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. But like, the way it just made it feel like such a big match feel all of a sudden was like
beautiful.
So refreshing and so simple. Just
so simple.
Following
you
him.
Follow a mother effer with a camera. Years, what's happening, Kate, for years is that we've had someone who was at the helm who everything was kayfabe. Everything. Don't show the crowd is kayfabe. They're the universe, not fans. You know, all this other stuff. Don't show another cameraman on your line of sight. You know, like, this is a live show, my friend. shit happens. Yeah. And if you follow that track, if you're following the person through, it makes it fun. Gives you that dynamic feel. You're walking with them. It puts you. This is a television show. This isn't for the people out there. This is for the people at home. Okay.
It's also like Alex Plowski said when we were reviewing it on Monday, he was like, remember that time when it was Swerve and AR Fox and it was in the early days of Collision where everybody was doing those like shoot style promos, like 15 seconds at the beginning of the show to get you hyped. And AR Fox just attacked him during it and it carried down to the ring. Like just stuff that we don't always see in wrestling. Like it's a completely different shot, but like a similar thing of just like, it is That's so it. Simple and organic and hasn't been done. Just love that. Just absolutely adore it. But we move on to, Bloody Kevin Owens is just getting his ass kicked by Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa is in the ring. My goodness, this was, I think a lot of people are about to find out how damn good Solo Sikoa is at storytelling as he's getting a little bit more mic time and breathing room and growing into this because he's great. And I saw it watching NXT. Pulaski saw it watching NXT. We know what he's capable of, and he played his role very well, but now his role is evolving, and I think you're going to be really impressed by what he does here. But Tama Tonga just is kicking Kevin Owens all around. I am loving this bloodline shift, but we get Paul Heyman telling everyone his name, of course, and he gives this very funny place of pride piece of the promo where he says, like, if there is anybody who's great at backstage politicking, I got to be like a top 5-3, the best guy to ever do it. Right. And there's a We Want Roman chant. And I love how Paul Heyman handled it. And I loved how Solo Sikoa, who is younger at this, handles this. So he says that he can assure everyone that as the wise man, and Sikoa just grabs the mic out of his hand, the crowd is booing. Solo goes to talk in the mic and he's getting those like Dominic Mysterio reactions where they just won't even let him talk. He's playing into them perfectly. He says last week he had to lose a brother and find a new one. He mentions Tama Tonga. This is when Kevin Owens comes out. Tonga is walking behind him and strutting to the ring as Owens is being attended to. But we get the number one fingers. Paul Heyman reluctantly follows suit and with the other finger, which I thought was a nice touch here. But Sikoa hits a spike on Kevin Owens and Tama Tonga. I want to say Toa Leota. All my New Japan guys creep into my head here. just continues to beat down Kevin Owens. I thought this was done so much better than we normally get. And we get Tonga backstage grabbing a chair and Nick Aldis got in the ring. Sikoa holding Tonga back and taking the chair away before things get too out of control. Tonga, Heyman, and Sikoa put their fingers in the air and Heyman's just looking terrified here. Absolutely adore this much of it. Let's just talk about that and then we'll talk about the follow-up segment between Aldis and Heyman and the car crash. What did you think? Because I felt like this felt, again, modern, fresh, different approach. Really liked what we got here.
Yeah, you know, stepping away from the old and just kind of giving the background players a little bit of airtime just makes a ton of difference, right? You got people that have just been in the background, not really doing anything except being enforcers, kind of now taking that lead role. I think Solo is going to outshine anyone in that who was in that group, to be completely honest. I would even say, dare say, outshine Roman. In some sorts, just because he's been the silent killer. And when you watch a horror movie, when that killer decides to speak a line or two, it's meaningful. So the things that Solo Sikoa is saying are meaningful. He's not just ranting. He's asking, where's Owens? He's inside. Take me to him. Done. You're in the ring. He's giving you those little lines. Done. He's holding Tonga back, done, you know? So those are really cool things that they're doing with him. So also Paul Heyman playing this up, it just feels like his demise is coming really soon. You know, but we'll see where that goes. That's how I feel about it. And long-winded, yeah, I sorry.
Agree. No, you're good. You're good, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I think people have just seen Solo Sikoa be a guy in the background for so long, and they have no idea what's coming with how good he is.
Yeah.
He's great.
As someone who writes screenplays and knows that there's a lot of B and C stories in a film or TV show or whatever the hell I'm writing, I understand that this B part of the show here, the B story with him, Solo, it has to be meaningful so for people to care. And I like it where it's going.
I do too. I like the way that this is evolving. And I feel like the fact that we want Roman Chance is such a good sign for what feels like his eventual babyface run. Like, people are already calling for it. So good stuff there, but not so good the condition of these rental cars. We got Heyman backstage with Nick Aldis, and Aldis just, I love how sincere he comes across. Like, did you know about this? Was this coordinated by you, Paul Heyman? And Paul Heyman, like, just looking around in disbelief. And Paul Heyman just doing an excellent job with all this. He was so over the top and cartoonish with Roman. And now the script has flipped a little bit, and we're getting this, like, I don't even know how to communicate with Solo Sikoa. Like, he does not know how to control him, and he doesn't know how to get through to him. And Solo Sikoa knows that, and he's playing it perfect. And I love what we've got. Baldus said that on his show, they settle shit in the ring, not with car accidents backstage. And that the Bloodline needs to understand this. And he says that there's going to be consequences for what Tonga and Sikoa did next week. So a nice little addition there. Any thoughts on that?
No, I'm in love with everything that they're doing right now with this secondary story.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It felt like the biggest thing happened, and it's not like the Bloodline just cooled off. It's like, no, now there's a next chapter. So,
and I hope they didn't use real glass.
Let's freaking hope so. Mm-hmm. Let's hope so. But we get Santos Escobar and Carlito in a 7.5 minute match that this felt like filler, to be honest. Santos Escobar is extremely special, and I think that WWE knows that. Carlito's comeback has been kind of a bust. I feel like we've seen this play out so many times. It felt so superfluous on the show tonight, but we get the ref breaking up the ladies, Electra Lopez and Zelina Vega, of this. And Escobar hitting a low blow on Carlito before that phantom driver gets locked in. Everything that he does has star quality. The second he walks out of that curtain to every move he delivers in the ring, he's fantastic. He gets crowd reactions. He gets heat. He's really fun to boo. He's really fun to cheer. This guy is it. He can fight somebody that's not Latino at some point. Like, let's go. Move along. Did feel like we were getting the Final Testament versus Legado, but now the Final Testament's on NXT, so I don't know what's happening there. But what were your thoughts on this match? It was a fun enough match. It just felt very much like filler to me.
Yeah, it was 100% filler, but just to be able to see my boys out there, you know what I'm saying, doing their thing, representing. Again, I'm a big person with representation, so I was just happy to see Santos out there, which I got to congratulate him on a little something. Another big scoop here that I'm going to have to tell Kate later. But yeah. Grab your water, fellas. I'm going to be scooping along.
Scoops that can be read, you can find them on FightfulSelect.com. So I would encourage you can read, to head over there and not just get
stupid scoops by Alex.
That's right. That's right. Ones that aren't available to you. But FightfulSelect.com has them. And you know what? If you're going to FightfulSelect.com, because we have like 14,500 subscribers, it's like a really popular site, and people are probably going to try and hack it all the time. And that's why you need the best VPN in the game. Okay. You don't want just like any old VPN that's just like kind of okay that you have to pay a bunch for. No. You want NordVPN, and you want the code FIGHTFUL.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN.com, code Fightful. Get your Dynasty pay-per-view for a little bit cheaper if you're in
I'm using it right now. This stream right here
is
going through NordVPN.
See,
no hiccups.
No.
Not slow at all.
Easy. Easy peasy.
So easy. So easy that Kate even found the one with the music and the production.
I did.
The commercial, so.
I did.
That's how good Nord is.
We have some updating to do on some of our ad reads, but you don't need updates for NordVPN.com. Just go over to NordVPN.com, use the code Fightful, and check it out before the Dynasty pay-per-view. Get it a little cheaper. A little bit cheaper. Jumanji Hunter. Saying Whoa. Battle Royal wouldn't be used to crown a men's title. Ain't that the truth? Yeah, that does feel like, why not just have a tournament? But I don't know. I don't know why they feel the need to get it done in one day. Don't know why they feel the need to get it done in one day. That feels like a rush job. But I agree with you. They wouldn't do that with the men's. That is for sure. RJA saying, my friend Taylor Solo a Swifty confirmed. That's what MFT stands for. My friend Taylor. Very nice. Me Normus saying what we were saying before, just that the Raw tag titles look like a pizza. They did look a little pepperoni. They did look a little pepperoni, but Blind Drive saying, maybe it's me, but seeing an authority figure stressing discipline after the destruction of a rental car felt subtly pointed. I don't know if it was that. I can understand where you're going with that, but I think it was just the fact that Tama Tonga's been here for 2 weeks and, you know, tried to murder someone feels like a bit of a,
Jesus.
Feels like a bit of a jump. Feels like a bit of a jump for sure. But we move on. Excuse me, guys. Sorry. Caleb Braxton is with Damage Control in the luxury box. I remember when AEW did this with MJF, it was very fun to have people like up in the crowd watching the match. That's just a very fun setting for people to be in. But Dakota Kai said that Io will eventually get her title back and that they were there to watch two people they don't like tear each other apart, which I thought was a nice little dig at both of them. And I also liked that we got a face-by-face matchup in our main event tonight, that it was a women's world championship title match, main eventing the show, and that was okay. Like, that it was two friends that were facing each other, face versus face, and that wasn't, like, an insane thing to be happening. But Kai reminds everybody that the Kabuki Warriors are still the tag team champions. Would be nice if they defended them. And Jade Cargill's music hits. Jade and Bianca walk into the luxury box next to Damage Control. That was the only thing I didn't like. Why is there music playing at each other in the luxury box? It's a weird thing.
Also, we were sold out and those luxury boxes were empty.
I know. WWE. Naomi's music hits and the entrances for the main event start. So before we get to the main event, we do have Cody cutting a promo from the UK where he's part of the UK tour. Cody says that a title can make a man, and the man makes the title. Some good old school stuff from Cody there, saying that he is going to bring the WWE Undisputed Championship all over the world. Cody takes note of how AJ became the number one contender for his belt and calls him the modern excellence of execution, that he looks forward to seeing him at Backlash. So pretty standard stuff, nothing to write home about, but anything you want to comment on?
Yeah, same. I'm with you. Good old Cody just being white meat babyface.
Yeah, agreed.
Soon to be booed all over all the arenas in the United States.
I don't know.
I put a 99-day countdown. You know how they had the Cody countdown? I have a 99-day countdown. I feel like people are going to start, like, kind of running. I don't know. It's just weird. I know I might be foreshadowing or not even. Maybe it's not going to happen, but I have a feeling, man, it happens all the time.
It does, but if you look at the fact that, like, one, they've been waiting so long for it, and two, the fact that they're, like, going to Europe immediately, like, people are going to be excited to see him come to their hometown. I don't think he's going to get live.
You still get the, right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm giving it time. I'm giving it, like, 3 months, right? And in the United States, there's only so many arenas you're going to be able to hit before you reset and start hitting them again, right? You're going to be back at the Barclays, like, next week. Well, yeah, the tours are already meant, are pre-planned a year in advance. So this European tour is the same normal European tour they hit every April, May. So depending on who's champion, right, they're going to send out there. So
if it's me, Cody Rhodes loses to Gunther at Bash in Berlin. If it's me.
I feel you.
I don't think he's getting booed. I think people have wanted this for so long that he's got at least...
The boos will not be overshadowed by the woes, but eventually you will hear them.
Nothing is.
Nothing overshadows the woe.
My cousin's in the chat. He says Bianca is the GOAT. He's got a massive crush on her. So Montez Ford,
hey,
gotta watch it. Because that's
hence. Because I got a crush on Jade, man. So
you and everyone else.
Waiting for her to crush my larynx.
Well, my cousin has two tennis matches tomorrow, and he's going to win them both. So that's very what nice. Goes on with the Hensler bloodline has excellence. But we do move along to our main event, which unfortunately, new era, same old DQ ending. But I don't hate this one as much as I normally hate them because it made sense. And we had a face versus face feud. And this isn't so much about Bayley and Naomi facing each other, right? This is about continuing the Tiffany and Naomi feud. I just find better ways to do it than DQ matches and world title pictures, but we are also getting the draft coming up. So kicking off a bunch of new stories is tough to do when you're about to shake up the entire roster. But this was pretty good. Like I like, Naomi finally getting featured in a huge spot after coming back from Rumble. She was just kind of lost in the mix and they gave her a really important spot here. But we do have this ending where out of nowhere, Tiffany runs and attacks first Bayley, and then that ends the match. And we get a prettiest moonsault ever on Naomi and Bayley at the same time. And Tiffany Stratton posing like a star, which I really, really liked. I thought she looked great. This match was fun. I'm so glad we've gotten away from the rear view as like a near fall finisher spot. There's so many things that Naomi does better than that. It is really refreshing to see her kind of evolve her moonset. I really liked when Bayley set up for the rose plant, but Naomi countered it into a submission. I thought that was a really fun spot in this. Mm-hmm. This was a decent title defense. It's nice to see Bayley being a defending champion as a babyface as well. I appreciate what we did here. I think Tiffany Stratton, if you don't have her winning Money in the Bank, you are absolutely cuckoo bananas silly for doing that. For not doing that. I feel like her with a pink briefcase tormenting either Liv Morgan or Bayley, there's tons of possibilities that could be so fun. I just don't like DQ endings to championship matches, but if you're going to do it, this is the way you do it because she's got beef with someone in the match and you had a face versus face situation where Bayley would also not want this for Naomi, right? Like Bayley wanted to face Naomi. So she doesn't want Naomi getting screwed with in this. So I don't really like endings like this, but if you're going to do it, this isn't a bad one. What were your thoughts?
No, I you know what? They utilize the DQ a lot, but I thought it was done. I thought it was done okay, because Bayley's not going to lose his title anytime soon. So you're going to have to find ways, again, with the same thing with Cody, you're going to have to find ways to how is this match going to end, right? How are these matches going to get us to an eventual winner? Because, you know, they're friends. It's not going to be a clean sweep where you're just going to, you know, freaking pin her and everyone's going to be happy in the ring. It's just not the way it's going to happen. This is why it was the right call to have her, Tiffany, come in and kind of just beat the crap out of everyone, you know?
Yes.
And like you said, just strut it away. You need heat. If the belt right now is on someone who used to be a heel, is now over like hell again, you know, as a babyface, right? Because she's not gray. She's kind of just there. Tiffany's going to try to put a lot of heat behind herself to try to get this title.
She's killing it, man. She's done very well since coming up to the main.
So roster. She's going to be the catalyst to cost not only Bayley some matches with DQs, but, you know, kind of just play mind games. I think this is what's going to happen, because, again, Bayley's not going to lose this title in any match that they try to put her in. So you're going to have to. People already know this. People, wrestling fans, are smart. Most of them.
And it is like, we also have the draft coming up. Like, you're just not going to launch a bunch of stories until that is shaken out. Yeah. So.
Right. It starts next week. So next Friday's show, guys, is going to be a big one.
It's going to be draft day. Kevin Costner is going to come on here.
Should we wear suits? Like, do I come in? No, I will.
I'll wear the one that Bobby Lashley said. Oh. RJ thinks Alexa is coming back to win on Monday. I don't think so. I don't think Alexa Bliss is coming back to win on Monday.
I got a scoop. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop saying scoops that you can't share with the class, Alan.
Oh, no. Okay, you're back.
I cut out. I'm back.
Yeah, it's okay. You're back.
I'm back. You can't do that. If we can't put them on Fightful Select, we can't make money off
we,
of them.
Actually, we could. If we're going to make money, then yes, I want my 50 grand up front, and I will do it.
Oh,
what is it? Okay. It's 1-900 Fightful, and then I let you know what the anonymous
We have a call in line. We've got a call in line.
Wait, does that work? Hold on. You end the show while I look this up, because I'm about to bet that for us.
You know what? I will kind of end the show, though, because that is the end of SmackDown for us. Thank you guys so much for watching. We've got a lot more content coming for you this weekend here on Fightful. Tomorrow you're going to have Grapsity in the morning, so check out Grapsity. You'll have your Collision post show, which I think is going to include Battle of the Belts. That's going to be with Iridian and Phil Lindsay, who is subbing in for Cresta and Rick, who are out.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, you're going to have your Dynasty post show as well. You'll have me and Alex Blavsky behind the paywall. So two Collision post shows, one behind the paywall, one here on the main channel. Some good stuff for you as we work right through the weekends. We've got you covered here. But Alex, where can the people find you?
Actually, ladies and gentlemen, you can find me right here on Fightful every single Friday. I'm going to put myself over on Fightful. You see what I'm doing there?
That's what's up.
Then you can also find me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza. Hit the link in bio. Wink, wink, nah, nah. And you can find absolutely everything working on. One thing that I am working on really quickly, guys, is I created a new show called In Case I Missed It. I have an all-star cast that's going to be joining me on this show. It's coming out really soon. Actually, Austin Romero, who everyone knows as Mike Rome, is going to want to be one of the hosts, along with some really great people that are like doing some amazing stuff online. So head over to In Case I Missed It on Instagram and follow us. Show coming out real soon.
That's what's up. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fave on social media. You can find me here on Fightful Main Channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday doing your NXT, ROH, and SmackDown post shows. Some changes to the ROH post show are on the horizon, so stay tuned for that. But we will be back next week. Mondays, you can catch me on Fightful Select with Alex Pawlowski, where we review Raw, and then we play video games, and mostly I make him play as Zack Sabre Jr. because his moveset from the Creator Wrestler is really fun. So we do that, but nice. We have a lot of fun over there on FightfulSelect.com. we also will have all the aforementioned programming that I will be a part of this weekend. So join us for that. But stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. We'll see you next week. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.